From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, March 2nd. I'm Abby Larico. Mosses are the underdogs of the plant world. Now a group of scientists is coming together to protect them.
It's just this like missing link to understanding the entire ecosystem that we've just kind of overlooked.
STLPR's Kate Grumke looks into the new effort to conserve mosses, coming up after this news on The Gateway. President Donald Trump's decision to launch military strikes on Iran split the Missouri and Illinois federal delegations. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, reactions fell along party lines.
Missouri Republicans such as Congressman Mark Alford of Cass County backed Trump's decision to attack Iran. He cited Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons.
The United States did not start this fight, but we will finish it.
But Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth told reporters over the weekend that Trump once again misled the American people when he campaigned on being an anti-war president.
Contrary to what Donald Trump thinks, only Congress has the power to declare war.
Lawmakers could vote soon on a war powers resolution restricting Trump's ability to further strike Iran. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Festus City Council is moving forward with plans for a data center in the Jefferson County community. Tonight, city leaders will meet with a consulting firm and several community stakeholders, including representatives from the Festus School District and the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. The meeting comes after the council voted unanimously last week to hire consulting firm Marks Nelson to negotiate with the data center developer, CRG. Festus Mayor Sam Richards has vocally supported the project, and despite backlash from some concerned members of the community.
We don't have any plans. We don't have any preliminary plans. We passed an ordinance to have a negotiator to talk with us and CRG.
Tonight's roundtable discussion in Festus will start at 5 p.m. A St. Louis judge could grant Alfred Montgomery a new trial after lawyers for the former sheriff, as well as the state, presented their arguments Friday. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis has details.
Judge Stephen R. Omer ruled late last year that Montgomery violated his legal authority as sheriff. It was the result of a removal suit by the Missouri Attorney General. Omer agreed with two of the Missouri Attorney General's reasons to remove Montgomery. Those include having the acting jail commissioner handcuffed and having a former sheriff's deputy disarmed. Matt Guillot is a lawyer for Montgomery. He says the judge should consider a partial removal where Montgomery wouldn't handle internal affairs investigations.
Both of these incidences happened within 6 weeks of office, and nothing like that ever happened again. Our positioners know capability of anything like that happen again, and it didn't happen for those ensuing 9 months.
Lawyers for the state say the new arguments shouldn't be considered. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House is moving forward with legislation that would create an automatic expungement process for most nonviolent offenses. The bill establishes an automatic record clearing or expungement process for closing records for so-called clean slate eligible offenses. Democratic Representative Marlene Terry sponsored similar legislation this session. She touted the benefits to implementing such a measure.
Everyone deserves a good job and a comfortable living environment. But unfortunately, we have constructed a society in which most individuals with a criminal record cannot achieve such things.
The expungement would not apply to offenses against children, violent crimes, or traffic violations. The law would also remove the ability of judges to issue the death penalty in cases of a hung jury. Missouri is just one of two states to currently allow that. Missouri House members gave first-round approval to the legislation last week. It's likely to pass the House this week. Arch City Defenders and Action St. Louis unveiled their new joint office space late last week at the former New Northside Missionary Baptist Church Family Life Center in North Point. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more from the grand opening celebration.
Hundreds of people stand outside the 36,000-square-foot building on Goodfellow Boulevard, anxiously awaiting a tour. It's now called the Northside Movement Center, and here, community organizing and legal services will be rendered under one roof. Construction and rehab of the building cost roughly $7 million, but Arch City Defenders Executive Director Blake Strode says it's more than just a building, it's a love letter to St. Louis.
It's a love letter to the people and communities in this region that have been neglected, that have been overlooked, and that have been counted out.
Arch City and Action St. Louis have helped lead campaigns that led to the closure of the city's infamous former jail known as the Workhouse. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Kids across St. Louis County are testing positive for the flu. Flu activity remains high in the county and around the state. That's according to the latest report from St. Louis County's Department of Public Health. More than 1,800 positive flu cases were documented for the week ending February 22nd. 8 grade schools in the county have reported outbreaks among their students and are now implementing measures to stop the spread. Most overall flu cases this season in the county have been in 5 to 14-year-olds. The median age for influenza type B, which is the variation that's been increasing in recent weeks, is 11. The uptick might be most noticeable in close contact scenarios like classrooms, says Nathan Kofarnas, an epidemiologist with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. But he says the bug isn't picky.
And unfortunately, when you have respiratory viruses in a group, it'll spread kind of regardless of what group you're in.
There have been 15 influenza-related deaths in St. Louis County in the past 7 weeks of flu season, according to the report. That includes one child. The state of Missouri is also reporting very high levels of the flu, with above-average flu hospitalizations in recent weeks, and more than 100 flu-related deaths this season across Missouri. The St. Louis Cardinals are keeping manager Ollie Marmol on the job. The team announced yesterday that Marmol signed a 2-year contract, keeping him with the Cardinals through 2028. It also includes an option to keep Marmol for the 2029 season. Since taking the helm as manager in 2022, Marmol compiled a record of 325 wins and 323 losses. Last year, the Cardinals finished in fourth place in the division. The Cardinals are currently in spring training. The team's MLB season will begin against the Tampa Bay Rays March 26th. Jazz St. Louis is looking for a new leader. The arts nonprofit announced Friday that President and CEO Victor Goines has left the organization. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin has more.
Jazz St. Louis Board Chairman Robert Stewart says Goines' departure was a personal decision that allows him to focus on his career as a jazz artist. Goines is a musician and educator who took over leadership of the Grand Center-based Jazz St. Louis in 2022. Jazz St. Louis's board defended Goines in 2023 after the Riverfront Times reported that he had objected to paying the musicians participating in a planned tribute to women in jazz. Education Director Adarin Pops Jackson and Development Director Cynthia Danley will serve as co-interim executive directors. That's while the board launches what it calls a strategic leadership planning process. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
February can be a tough month for restaurants, with people staying in post-holidays and with the cold weather. But it was mostly good news on the dining front in St. Louis. Energizer Park got 4 new local food concepts, and Clayton gained Nate's Kosher Deli. La Patisserie Paris, or La Patisserie Paris, opened in St. Charles. And Tacos La Jefa is back now in East St. Louis. There were closures, though. Bailey's Restaurants closed Bridge Tap House and Wine Bar after 17 years to make it an event space. Candy store Charm Me Sweet shuttered in Southampton, and Wentzville lost Friendship Brewing Co. You can find more restaurant openings and closings from the last month at stlpr.org. More than 1,600 plants and animals are protected under the U.S. Endangered Species Act. And out of all of those, only one is a moss. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on a new effort to protect these tiny plants that are often overlooked but are very important.
On a cold January morning in a nature reserve outside of St. Louis, almost everything is brown and dry. But with a certain type of scientist in tow, soon you're seeing the forest in a new way and headed toward little patches of green.
I leave the trail as soon as I can. Trails are to get me to near the bryophytes, and then I just run around in the woods.
John Brinda is a bryologist at the Missouri Botanical Garden. Bryologists study bryophytes, a group that includes mosses and other small plants called liverworts and hornworts. In the woods, Brenda spends a lot of time squinting at moss through a magnifying hand lens he wears around his neck.
look at the different colors. This has a different texture to it. Like this is flatter and smoother, and this is more rough.
What Brinda and many bryologists have in common is an appreciation for the little guy. Mosses are underdogs, but that can be a problem. They don't get much attention even among scientists, so there's a lot we don't know about them. And you can't protect a species if you don't know it's struggling. That's why Brinda and a group of scientists from across Canada and the U.S. are forming the Bryophyte Conservation Alliance to help understand and protect these plants. Ohio State University's Mandy Slate is part of the team.
It's just this like missing link to understanding the entire ecosystem that we've just kind of overlooked.
Slate says these tiny plants are a super important part of their natural communities. They store carbon and impact how water moves. They're also habitats themselves. If you zoom in really close to a patch of mosses, it's like a mini forest, full of even smaller creatures. But Slate says there's a lot left to learn about mosses and other bryophytes.
We don't know where they actually occur. We don't know their abundance in those locations, and we don't know any threats. But all of that information is needed together at the same time to really understand how a species is doing.
And you need all of that data to get protection from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The only moss currently protected by the agency is the South Llano Springs moss, an endangered plant whose only known population is on one private ranch in Texas. Chris Best is the scientist who did the species assessment for that moss.
To our knowledge, there's only male individuals left in that population, and it is even possible that the entire population consists of clones of a single surviving individual. We really don't know.
Best recently retired after 19 years as the Texas state botanist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He says plants get a lot less conservation attention than animals at the federal agency.
We have very few botanists in the whole country.
And mosses are an even smaller specialty within botany. Keir Wefferling studies mosses at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. He has a deep respect for these plants and wonders why there's so little attention paid to them.
It's not a lack of ecological relevance. I don't know. I think it's because they're small and hard to identify, maybe. I don't know. But it's nonsense. It's sad. And maybe one could say it's an opportunity for education and outreach.
While more legal protections for mosses would be welcome, Wefferling says the Bryophyte Conservation Alliance is about more than just federal lists. They're hoping to inspire people to take a closer look at these little plants. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
That story was produced with Harvest Public Media, a collaboration of public media newsrooms across the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.